From the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8, entitled The Character of Bharat Maharaj. And today we are treating verse 29. Atman Vatam Anu Patariyat Vimukta Samstaha Sangasya Vivikta Punyaranya Saranyasya Madvata Admani Sarvesham Admanam Bhagavati Svasudevi Tat Anushravana Manana Sankirtanana Darunushmarana Biyogena Sunyashakalayamena Kalena Samavesitam Samahitam Karsnina Manastatu Purnaha Mama Buddhasyaranam Mrigasutam Anu Parishu Srava Aho Kastam Fell Down. Translation and purport by A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj began to lament. What misfortune! I have fallen from the path of the self-realized. I give up my real sons, wife, and home to advance in spiritual life. And I took shelter in a solitary holy place in the forest. I became self-controlled and self-realized. And I engaged constantly in devotional service, hearing, thinking, chanting, worshipping, and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. I was successful in my attempt, so much so that my mind was always absorbed in devotional service. However, due to my personal foolishness, my mind again became attached, this time to a deer. Now I have obtained the body of a deer, and I have fallen far from my devotional practices. Purport. Due to his stringent execution of devotional service, Maharaj Bharat could remember the activities of his past life and how he was raised to the spiritual platform. Due to his foolishness, he became attached to an insignificant deer and thus fell down and had to accept the body of a deer. This is significant for every devotee. If we misuse our position and think that we are fully engaged in devotional service and can do whatever we like, we have to suffer like Bharat Maharaj and be condemned to accept the type of body that impairs our devotional service. I think I'll take that again. Very important. If we misuse our position and think that we are fully engaged in devotional service and can do whatever we like, we have to suffer like Bharat Maharaj and be condemned to accept the type of body that impairs our devotional service. Only the human form is able to execute devotional service. But if we voluntarily give this up for sense gratification, we certainly have to be punished. This punishment is not exactly like that endured by an ordinary materialistic person. By the grace of the Supreme Lord, a devotee is punished in such a way that his eagerness to attain the lotus feet of the Lord, attain the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva is increased. By his intense desire, he returns home in the next lifetime. devotional service is very completely described here. Tat anushravanam manana sankirtanara dhanasumara dhavya yogina. The constant hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord is recommended in Bhagavad Gita. Satatam kirtayatumam yatatanscha dridavrataha. Those who have taken to Krishna consciousness should be very careful that not a single moment is wasted and that not a single moment is spent without chanting and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His activities. By His own actions and by the actions of His devotees, Krishna teaches us how to become cautious in devotional service. Through the medium of Bharat Maharaj, Krishna teaches that we must be careful in a discharge of devotional service. And we want to keep our minds completely fixed without deviation, we must engage them in devotional service full time. If we want to keep our minds completely fixed without deviation, we must engage them in devotional service full time. As far as the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are concerned, they have sacrificed everything to push on this Krishna consciousness movement. Yet, they must take a lesson from the life of Bharat Maharaj to be very cautious and to see that not a single moment is wasted in frivolous talk, sleep, or voracious eating. As far as the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are concerned, they have sacrificed everything to push on this Krishna consciousness movement. Yet, they must take a lesson from the life of Bharat Maharaj to be very cautious and to see that not a single moment is wasted in frivolous talk, sleep, or voracious eating. Eating is not prohibited, but if we eat voraciously, we shall certainly sleep more than required. Sense gratification ensues thereafter, and we may be degraded to a lower life form. In that way, our spiritual progress may be checked, at least for the time being. The best course is to take the advice of Srila Rupa Goswami, Avyartha Kalatvam, Avyartha Kalatvam. We should see that every moment of our lives is utilized for the rendering of devotional service and nothing else. This is a secure position for one wanting to return home back to Godhead in the spiritual sky. Hare Krishna. So, this is a very, very intense verse. And it's so intense that I feel I'm not the right person to speak on this verse. It needs a very intense devotee to speak on such an intense subject matter. However, by the mercy of all of you here, Vaishnavas, we try to say something. Actually, last Sunday, I was so happy. Shyamananda Prabhu gave a very wonderful class in the morning, and in the evening Sridharan Prabhu topped it with his Smarana lecture. It was so wonderful. I felt that should have continued for the whole evening. It was so wonderful. So those are the lectures that we should constantly hear, that will cleanse the heart of all the contaminations that we have accrued during our sojourn in this material life. We are hereby told about the life of Bharat Maharaj, the character of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj had left home. He had left home, as the verse says, to a solitary place in the forest to practice spiritual life. It is said that just as there are five transcendental rasas with the Supreme Personality of God in Sri Krishna, there are also five material rasas that everybody has. These are called the Pancha Sambandha. First is the Pita Putra Sambandha, father and son relationship. Pati Putri Sambandha, husband and wife relationship. Prabhu Britya Sambandha, servant to master relationship. Bandhu Bandhava Sambandha, friendship relationship. And then Itara Sambandha, other relationships. So these relationships are there in the material world, just like counterparts of the spiritual relationships that we all have with Krishna. And somehow, under the illusion of the material energy, the living entity tries to relish these relationships in the material world. We all try to relish these relationships. You're my brother, you're my father, you're my mother, you're my master. Actually, without these things, there cannot be material existence. Without these relationships, material existence cannot be there. Just like without these spiritual rasas, there cannot be spiritual life. The spiritual world is existing based on these rasas. So, Bharat Maharaj was able to dissociate himself. He was able to cut away all these different types of material relationships to go to the forest to practice tapasa. But unfortunately, very unfortunately, he became attracted to a very insignificant, Prabhupada writes, a very insignificant living entity like a deer. If you are attracted to human beings, that's something to write home about. That's something to talk about. But if you become attached to a very insignificant something, that is not recommended. It's not accepted. It is condemned. Especially Bharat Maharaj as a king, for that matter. He had a whole kingdom to himself, the whole world to himself. He renounced the whole world by his family. And now, he's attached to a very insignificant deer. So, this is the issue. That as we take to the process of Krishna consciousness, and we endeavor to get free from material contamination, there is always a chance that one can get reinfected by the material disease. Especially if we are inattentive. If we are inattentive in our devotional service, if we are inattentive in our japa, we are inattentive in our association with other devotees, we are inattentive in a devotional association, then there is every likelihood that we can be reinfected by the material disease. Especially if we allow our mind to wander, we give a leeway to the mind, we are bound to encounter problem. Actually, there's a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam that is very instructive. And the verse goes, Nityam dadati karmasya shidram tam anuye rayaha yogina krita maitrasya patir jayiva pumschali. The translation of the verse is, an unchaste woman is very easily carried away by paramos. And it sometimes happens that her husband is violently killed by her paramos. Similarly, a yogi who gives chance to his mind and does not restrain it, his mind will give facility to enemies like lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, attachment, illusion, and they will doubtlessly kill the yogi. So Bharat Maharaj has been killed because he had given leeway to his mind. The word Pumschali is very important. We all know that if one has an unchaste wife, He is in a very difficult situation because he will die an sudden death. Why? Because an unchaste wife goes here and there, associates with all kinds of men, and in the first place may bring some STD, sexually transmitted disease, to the husband that can finish his life before his actual life ends. Because this time we have so many complex diseases like HIV and so many others they can't even describe. Not to speak of the anxiety the husband goes through, see the wife being unchaste, and then when he wants to check the wife's activities, the wife teams up with her paramours, and the husband is violently killed. So, this is what is expected of an unchaste wife. Of course, if a man is also unchaste, he can also be of great danger to the wife. Sometimes we talk about the women, we don't talk about the men. But both cases are there. If a man is unchaste and runs here and there, he also creates such a dangerous situation for his wife. So, a yogi whose mind is uncontrolled, or a yogi who allows his mind to roam here and there, or a devotee who does not check the activities of his mind is compared to an unchaste wife. And therefore, such a devotee or a yogi should expect that in the very near future, he will be killed by his own mind. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, O Dharit Atmadan Manam. Not Manam Mafasada yet. That uplift yourself by your mind. Don't degrade yourself by the mind. That is the instruction of Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. He said, uplift yourself by your mind. Never allow the mind to degrade you. The mind is the friend of the living entity. At the same time, the same mind can be your worst enemy. So, we have to take care of this mind. Bharat Maharaj, when he saw this little deer, he was thinking, oh, this deer is lonely, the mother has died, it needs my compassion, it needs my help. That this was actually the working of his mind. In one of the papers, the Prabhupada mentioned that compassion is necessary for a devotee. A devotee must have compassion, but not material compassion. Yes, Srila Prabhupada said, a devotee's qualification is great compassion. Without compassion, you cannot be a sadhu, you cannot be a devotee. But material compassion should not be our goal. And this is exactly what happened to Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj had great material compassion for the deer. And as a result, he lost control of his mind. And eventually, he gave up his spiritual process and became completely deer conscious. And so we see the result of that is, in his next life, he became a deer. So, we have to be very cautious, as the Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that we do not allow the mind to space out. It is said that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. When the mind is idle, when there is no engagement for the mind has to find something else to do. But if we engage our mind constantly in the service of Krishna, in hearing the wonderful glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, chanting, remembering the wonderful activities of the Lord, the mind will not have the leeway to think of unnecessary things. So, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that only in this human form of life can we execute devotional service. And therefore, we should be very careful that we do not misuse it. This is a very important instruction. There are so many species of life. 8,400,000 different species of lives, or life forms. So many. But out of these 8,400,000 species of life forms, the human form of life is the best. Because in this human form of life, one can engage in the service of Vasudeva. So So if we have this opportunity to engage in this transcendental service of the Lord, and we misuse it for some very insignificant attachments, then that is very unfortunate. So it is said that the human form of life is a great boon for getting out of this world, for finishing our material existence. And therefore, we must make the best use of it. In this regard, there is a story of one gentleman. Maybe some of you have heard this story before. His name is Haru. Haru was born with some defect. His nose was very, very small. Of course, everyone in this material world has some defect. Materially speaking, everybody has some defect. Some are visible, some are not visible. Some have problems with their stomach. They can't eat properly. They can't digest properly. Some have problems with their hearing. They can't hear properly. Some have problems with their smell. They can't smell anything. Nice, fragrant flowers smelling. They can't smell anything. So everybody has some defect. So Haru had a very small nose. And wherever he went, people laughed at him. Oh, see that boy with a small nose. So most of the time he walked with his hand over his nose so that people would not laugh at him. So when he grew into a young man, he felt that if I go marry a woman with a bigger nose, she may feel superior to me, and from time to time she will insult my small nose. So let me find a wife that also has a very tiny nose, so that this way, she cannot make jest of me. She can insult me. So she looked around, and finally she also found a girl with a very small nose. So she got married. So a family of two small noses. But that did not stop the problem. Everyone in the village was talking about the family of the small noses. Wherever they went, people were making fun of them. Oh, see them. That is the family of the small noses. We wonder what kind of nose their child will have. You know, everything we inherit from our parents. We inherit from our parents. Everything. Some from our mother, some from our father, some from our great-grandfather. There's a pool of genes in the family that we have to inherit from. So, it was so embarrassing for Haru and his wife. So very embarrassing that they would keep indoors all the time. Because anytime they came out of the door, somebody would say something about their small noses. So the wife said, "My dear husband, can't you do something about these noses?" And Haru said, "But what can I do? Nature has awarded us these noses. What can I do?" He said, "You can pray to Lord Narayan. If you pray to Lord Narayan, he can do the impossible. So please, do something." So Haru said, "All right. If this is your advice, I will take it." So Haru underwent severe austerities, penances, without eating, without sleeping, and praying to Lord Narayan day and night. And finally, one day Lord Narayan appeared and said, "My dear Haru, what can I do for you? What do you want?" He said, "I want some boons from you." And the Lord said, "Okay, I give you 3 boons. Whichever way you want it, use it. 3 boons I give you. Use it any way you want it." So Haru had to go and consult with his wife how they will use the 3 boons that the Lord has given. So when he went to talk to the wife, the wife said, first, let us ask for some wealth. Let us ask some wealth, because it's very important. In this material world, you cannot live without money. So first, let us ask, the first boon should be we need wealth. And Haru said no. Our problem is our noses. If you have all this wealth, and your noses are still, our noses are still very tiny and small, people will say, laugh at us. So better we ask for our noses to be improved. So there was an argument between the husband and wife. And finally, Haru said, now my dear Lord, please take away these small noses as a first boon. So immediately the small noses vanished. Now they were without noses. Now you can imagine how they look like without noses. And the wife said, what have you done? Now we have no noses. We cannot even come out for people to see us. So please, make sure you don't waste the other two boons. Because you're taking one now, there are two boons. Make sure the two are not wasted. So please, get back our noses fast. So Haru said, my dear Lord, please give us noses. And immediately their whole bodies were covered with noses. So that was another problem. The whole body covered with noses. How can you come out with the whole body covered with noses? So, they had only one boon left. The first one was wasted in doing away with all the small noses. Second one wasted in getting noses all over the whole body. And now he's left with only one boon. So Haru asked the wife, what should we ask for now? You were saying we should ask for some money. What should we do now? And the wife said, look, better we ask for our small noses back. Because if you ask for money, it means we're going to have these noses all over the body. And as soon as you go out of the door, people will laugh at us. So better we just use the last boon to ask for our small noses. And that was it. Haru said, oh my dear Lord, please kindly give us our noses, our small noses back. And instantly all the noses over the body vanished and the small noses were placed back in their positions. But then they were very unhappy. Because they had got these three boons from the Supreme Personality of God, the Lord Narayan, but they misused them. They could not get anything better out of the three boons. So, the purpose of the story is that in the human form of life, everyone is given three boons. In a human form of life, everyone is given three boons. First is the human form of life, the human body. That's the first boon. Second is a spiritual master. Third is a shastra, scripture. These are the three boons we all have. The human form of life is the first boon. Second boon is a guru. Third boon is shastra. With the body, the human form of life, we can approach the bona fide spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, as Krishna stated in Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Pranipatena. And then, with the favorable winds of the Vedas, favorable winds of the scripture, we can go back home to Godhead. The body is considered the boat, the ship. And the spiritual master is considered the captain of the ship. And the scripture, the sastra, are considered favorable winds for directing the ship back home, back to Godhead. These are the three booms that everybody has in this life. But if we are not fortunate, these three boons can be wasted, just like Haru did. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, go to the verse, Tat anu sravanam manana sankirtana janu smara biyogenaha. That a constant hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord is recommended. Constant hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord. This is the recommended process. If the mind is absorbed in constantly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, there is no question of the mind wandering somewhere else and then making it easy to fall away from the process of Krishna consciousness. Also, he mentioned here, Avyarta Khalatvam, a quotation from Srila Rupa Goswami, that we should see that every moment of our lives is utilized for rendering of devotional service and nothing else. This is the most secure position for wanting to return home back to Godhead. So it is also mentioned in the Mahabharat, Varna Parva, where a yaksha, actually Yamaraj in the form of a yaksha, put a number of questions, very important questions, to Yudhisthira Maharaj. And one of such questions was, Ka Pantaha? Which is the most prescribed path for one to follow for spiritual emancipation? This was one of the questions that a yaksha, Yamaraj, from the yaksha that was in the pool of water, asked Yudhisthira Maharaj. And Yudhisthira Maharaj's answer was, Tako pratishta shrutavyo vibhina dharmasya tatvam nihitam guyaham mahajano yena gatha sarpataha. He says, following in the footsteps of the Mahajans, that is the most prescribed path for self-realization. Because these Mahajans, Sadhu Mahajans, their hearts are pure. And so, whatever they do is pure. Whatever standard they set is pure. Whatever example they show is enough to liberate everyone. So by following their footsteps, we can go back home, back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada is quoting Sri Rupa Goswami. A previous acharya, a Mahajan, for us to follow. That is our system in Krishna consciousness. We learn to follow the Mahajans. If we follow the Mahajans, following their footsteps, there is no question of deviation. But if we do not do that, and we want to follow our mind, our whimsical mind, then what happened to Bharat Maharaj will also happen to us. Actually, in ISKCON, we have several examples of this. Many people rose to very exalted positions. Very exalted positions. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And when they gave up following these things strictly, when they gave up following Krishna consciousness strictly, not chanting 16 rounds, not following the four basic rules and regulations, not associating with devotees anymore, what happened? They fell down. And again, some of them became farmers, tomatoes farmers, drug pushers, woman hunters, like that. So we should note that this story of Bharat Maharaj is not a story of past millenniums or past yugas. It is happening right now. If we are not careful, if we are not cautious, if we don't engage our mind in a positive way in Krishna consciousness, the mind will find its engagement, negative engagement, and will spoil our devotional life. But if we follow in the footsteps of the great devotees, great Mahajans, like the present Acharyas, Founder Acharya, ISKCON Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, previous Acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, the greatest Goswamis, and on and on and on. If we follow in their footsteps, always endeavoring to hear the glories of Krishna, chant the glories of Krishna, remember the glories of Krishna, the mind will always be engaged, and in this way, we will be saved and secure. So, it's already 9 o'clock, and I had read a little bit about Janava Mataji, a little bit about Sita, and Madhu Pandit Goswami, and I wanted to just say a few things about that. I don't know whether I'm permitted to. Am I permitted to? I've taken so much of the time. So, as we all know, today is the disappearance of these great, great personalities, Sita, the consort of Lord Ram. Actually, when we were on this Ganga safari with Jayapataka Maharaj from Mayapur to Devaprayag, we had the opportunity to visit the disappearance place of Sita from Varanasi to Prayag. Is on the way. We branch off to the very place where Sita disappeared into the earth. And in fact, I felt so sorry there, I don't know why, but I felt so sorry going there. Because thinking of all the trouble that Mother Sita went through, and eventually had to be abandoned by Lord Ram, I felt so sorry. But as we know, Mother Sita is a consort of Ram. And since Lord Ram had descended in the world to establish religious principles, to establish a standard kingship, Sita had to come. So she appeared as the daughter of Janaka Maharaj. Because she was not born from the womb of a material mother, she appeared from the earth. Janaka Maharaj was plowing his fields with his golden plow. And then all of a sudden, he saw a golden baby girl in the earth. And he picked up this girl. And a voice came from the sky, please take care of this girl. So, when she was of age of marriage, Janaka Maharaj was trying to find a very suitable husband, because she was a special, special personality girl. So she wanted a very suitable husband for her daughter, for his daughter. So he had this bowl of Shiva, huge bowl, that was lying there, and they had to put it on a wheel, and hundreds of men had to drag it from place to place. So to really find out the actual qualified husband of Sita, Janaka Maharaj said, anyone who can string this bow should become the husband of my daughter. And so many princes tried, but they failed. At that time, Ram and Lakshman were taken away by Vishwamitra to protect their sacrificial arena, because some demons were disturbing, throwing stool, pus, blood all over their sacrificial arena, would not allow them to perform their sacrifice. So, Vishwamitra had approached Dasarath Maharaj and requested for the young lads, Ram and Lakshman. And Dasarath was a bit unhappy. He was thinking, these are just some young boys. How can they kill demons? But Vishwamitra said, don't worry, they will do it. And they did. So from there, they heard about this Swayamvara ceremony being organized by Janaka Maharaj. And so they went. And so when Vishwamitra heard about these things, he informed Ram and said, please, go and string this bow. And so Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nothing is impossible for him. He picked up this bow with his left hand, just like a child picks up a mushroom, and strung it, and then he pulled it to his ear, and the bow snapped. The bow broke. And everybody was surprised. How is that possible? This personality must not be an ordinary person. Otherwise, so many people tried, they couldn't string the bow. And now he strung it, and he has broken it. That means he must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so Sita was given in charity to Lord Ram. So, Dasarath Maharaj was invited, and the whole marriage ceremony was performed, and Sita went with her husband to Ayodhya. Unfortunately, because the Lord had come to, on the order, on the request of the demigods, to vanquish Ravan, who was harassing them so much, there was some kind of a problem with his coronation, and he was banished to the forest. And when Ram was banished to the forest, he did not want to go with Sita. He was thinking, such a gentle lady, such a soft-footed lady, how can she walk in the forest in the midst of thorns and trees, storms, stones? Not possible. So he didn't want to take Sita along. But Sita, being a very, very chaste woman, she said, my dear Ram, if you don't take me, I will end my life. What is the use of a wife to be without a husband? That forest that you're going to walk through, I will also walk through that forest. So take me. So in this way, Sita shows what it is to be a chaste wife. So as regards Janava Mataji, Sri Janava Mataji, we all know she is the second wife of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda Mahaprabhu had two wives, Vasudhara and Janavi Mataji. They are considered the expansions of Lord Balaram's eternal consorts, Varuni and Revati. After the disappearance of the Panchatattva and most of the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was a very huge festival. Actually, the first Gaur Purnima festival in Keturi, Keturi Gram, where thousands and thousands of devotees attended. And so many deities, actually it says six deities of Gaur Nitai were installed during the festival. And great devotees like Narottam Thakur, Samanda Prabhu, Srinivas Acharya, Murari Chaitanya Prabhu, and many others, distinguished and exalted devotees, were in that festival. And Narottam Das performed his Prema Nam Kirtan. Very sweet singing that Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Hope and Chaitatva appeared in daylight to the delight of the devotees. And during that festival, Kyanava Mataji prepared all the prasad and personally served the prasad to all the devotees. She was so kind, she was so compassionate that the devotees gave her a name, Manjanavi. That's how she was known among devotees. She was affectionately called by that name. She used to do Vraj Mandala Parikram, and she liberated so many abominable characters, so many sinful people, by her compassionate preaching. She was actually known as the Nityananda Shakti. She was the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nityananda. And so wherever she went, Lord Nityananda is so merciful. Lord Nityananda delivered all kinds of people. So in the same manner, Janava Mataji was delivering all kinds of sinful people. And in this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a prayer just to show us how to approach such personalities. So I think it's a prayer we should all say. O Janavi Devi, by the power of your divine qualities, be merciful to your servant. Dispel this illusion which torments me and relieve me of material existence. Let me take shelter of your lotus feet. You are Nityananda Shakti, the divine energy of the Lord Himself. You are the Guru of Krishna Bhakti. Be merciful to me and grant me the shade of your lotus feet, which are like a desired tree. You have delivered countless abominable sinners. Please kindly deliver this one also. Today I'm praying for your mercy. This lowly sinner falls at your lotus feet. Please kindly deliver me. Actually, this prayer is for us. It's not for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a very exalted devotee. He was a liberated soul. But just to teach us how to pray to such people, he has written this prayer. So it is said that Janavi Mataji, she disappeared into the Gopinath deity. In Vrindavan, she disappeared into the Gopinath deity. And finally, Madhu Pandit Goswami Madhu Pandit Goswami was a disciple of Paramananda Bhattacharya. And when Paramananda Bhattacharya discovered this deity of Gopinath, which was installed 5,000 years back by the great grandson of Lord Krishna, Vajranath, he entrusted the worship of this deity, Gopinath, to his disciple, Madhu Pandit Goswami. Emmanuel Patrick Goswami worshiped his deity so nicely. And he said that it was Madhu Patrick Goswami who blessed Srinivas Acharya with the garland of Sri Gopinathji when they were sent by Jiva Goswami with the books of the Goswamis to go on the first Sankirtan book distribution party. So, today being his disappearance day, which is not different from his appearance day, all the Sankirtan devotees, we should pray for the gallant of Gopinath. We should pray for Madhu Pandit Goswami to offer us the gallant of Radha Gopinath, so that we can be empowered to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Srinivas Acharya, Samananda Prabhu, and Narottam Das Thakur were the first Sankirtan devotees who were given the books to distribute, and it was Madhu Pandit Goswami who blessed Srinivas Acharya with the garland of Sri Gopinath. And their preaching became very, very successful. So thank you very much. Sisirara Gopinath ki jai. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.